Blog Talk Radio.
Without Christ, there's no blood. Without the blood, there's no life.
Yeah, you know.
Living in Christ, alive.
Yeah.
One blood, one blood. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone. One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong. They put a Babylon. Yo, it moved me thin, so watch it make me part. Because the blood set me free, so you can't stop me, sir.
The blood come here to deliver. No matter how many times you pull the trigger, no make nobody carry the gold digger. Man, I stun me no nigga. Christ goes flow like a river. Shut off the yard and deliver. One step out a giant and the whole body shiver. The remedy in the blood fit this in and make up a winner. Even the great mediator. Show me love and favor. Sing God like vapor. Tear them up like paper. Move the guilty cases through time and spaces and different places and culture and races and faces. And the blood they have to the bad man day. Hand on them in a God man free.
One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put up Babylon.
One blood, one blood, one blood.
Yo, sissy.
It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone.
Move, push up like a shot. No take, no talk. Why this is program the down. Them start to back. Blood and road and body line on cool and mark.
Only one blood from the cross can change your heart.
Up like chicken fat. This a blood that comes to wash off your dirty ass. Try to clean your tongue when you use like a pipe. That can get rid of bad mind like what?
Who them? Hang up, they look like I know who know me at all. You think you're hot? Well, the blood that you have to cool you. Why you trying to run? The blood that you have to fool you. Living in nothing but a one blood can save you.
One blood, one blood, one blood. It doesn't matter where you're from. There's blood for everyone. One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put a Babylon. Yo, it moved me thin, so watch it make me part. Because the blood set me free, so you can't stop me talk. One blood, one blood, one blood. Let the weak say I am strong. Say put a Babylon. One blood, one blood, one blood. It does no matter where you're from.
You don't know if you're gonna live to see it too.
these are some serious times. All I can see around us is just violence and crime. Full time for us to centralize, socialize, and realize. So you ain't no panicana. I see a giant by me, see I want panicana, anicana. Do you seem really now want no water? I see a them go see a left the bada. Cause I don't know they play them can no they can play. And don't you come in and chat that you spray. Socialize and realize the little sun shines around every day. Little moon shines through the peaceful night. This is seven time rise and seven time fall. But I don't really believe in the falling things at all. Cause life continues as it goes. If you really want to know the truth of the truth isn't being told. No, 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 no. Morning, you better give thanks. You don't know if you're gonna live to see tomorrow. Life is much more precious than gold. Yeah, yeah. And if the truth hasn't been told, these are some serious times. All I can see around us is just violence and crime. Full time for us to centralize, socialize and realize.
There was a blind man on the roadside, and he heard a commotion. It was Jesus passing by with the crowd, and he stirred his emotion. Oh, he then displayed his whole life. Should he even try?
Looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. I overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. And I believe, yeah. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is.
Hey, counterfeit friendships, snakes to give you handshakes. Look at the eye contact and the face your man makes. Devilish grin plotting, evil on your downfall. Follow you home, then later come make a house call. Never been cleansed by the love of God, so he evil though. But King Tut ain't got nothing on my King Jesus though. I know you selfish, shady, shiesty, and sneaky. I know you hate me, it's in your eyes when you see me. I gotta love you regardless if it ain't easy. I won't allow Satan's darkness just to defeat me. I try my best to keep my peace as much as possible. It can be peaceful between us, I think it's possible. I get frustrated and angry sometimes, I'm human, bro. Just understand I won't let my anger consume me. If I can forgive the ones who killed my brother for real, then I can forgive whoever so hatred can disappear. Hey, I forgive them, let us pray.
Keep me in my time zone, with my mind's gone and I'm flying home, and I'm stressed out and I'm tempted to get that style phone and go pull it up, but you know what's up and you know that ain't gonna solve nothing. I mean, Lord forbid, I might fall or something, and I'm all another cause
all I need is you
to hold me down like bitch strapped to the psych ward. It's killing me, but you still with me when I fight hard, and
all I need is you.
You digging me when I'm eating you. Deal with me when my car's pulled. Could've dealt with me, but you fell for me before I fell for you. Keep me on that right path and the right math. It's you plus nothing's everything. You my everything, same. You ain't gotta question my allegiance, cause the way you love me, I could never leave. I need you.
By my side, thick and thin, highs and lows, don't let go.
How did I fall in this? No condition that get a mention, but you offer this unconditional love, I swear I sell it all for this. Trying to keep it together, forgive my awkwardness, but often this, just you and me off in this valley of shadows, and I know they trying to pick me off in this, but all I need is you. It's funny just how off I get when I ain't riding with you. No adjectives for your awesomeness. They burning one for that burnout. This life ain't got them all turned out. Took time out to put time in, so I turn to you when I want out. Need is you. You slow me down cause you know me now, but my phony smile and I'm acting like it's all copacetic. It's so pathetic, so juvenile.
Know what you do? You keep me cool in the summer when they be dressing less and I be wanting to show up and stunt. If there ain't nothing to want, you give me all that I need.
All I need is you to keep that fire burning for me. All I need is you.
By my side, thick and thin, highs and lows, don't let go.
Where there's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah.
They were
oh,
dear,
were
I
dear.
Dear. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today reading for me, as usual, is one of my favorite readers, and I think he's becoming a household favorite to the rest of you as well. He is an absolute Bible Truth University student. This is the one, the only, Kevin J. Go ahead, brother.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Can y'all hear me okay?
You are loud and clear, sir.
All right. Well, Shabbat Shalom to everybody, everybody in the audience, everybody on the panel. Shabbat Shalom to y'all. Thanks again for allowing me to be for you. Definitely an honor and pleasure. And, hey, I can't wait to get into this one. That's another good chunking title.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And as you know, we appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input that you may have. And like you said, judging by the title, you're going to have something to say about this one. But before we get off into this, let me just take the time to say to everybody listening in on Clubhouse, welcome. We're happy to have you here. If this is your first time studying with us, let me just tell you a few ground rules that we have here. First and foremost, this is our Sabbath study. This is not an open discussion yet. What that means for you in the audience, that if you have a question or a comment about today's class, simply hold it until after the study is over. Once the study is over, you know what to do. Raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you to the stage, and you can ask any question or make any comment you want, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, to everybody in the chat room, try to keep the chatter to a minimum. For one thing, my mods are posting scriptures, and they're also posting updates. So if you're spamming up the chat, people can't see the scriptures because your conversations are getting in the way. But that's better than mine. Also, don't be in the chat just being belligerent and trying to disagree with the study or start an argument with somebody else in the chat or just try to do your own little miniature lesson. Because if you do, one of my mods will promptly kick you out of the room. No warnings. No trying to reason with you. You're just going to find yourself wandering the hallways of Clubhouse. So if you don't want that to happen, abide by the rules. If you do get kicked out and you felt it was unjust, just DM one of the mods, particularly the one who you suspected kicked you out, and I'm pretty sure they will tell you why they kicked you out. But mistakes do happen, so if you felt like you were kicked out unfairly, let them know. Don't DM me, because I don't pay attention to DMs while I'm doing my class. So with that being said, the title of today's class is Payment for the Preacher, Tithes for the Priests. Again, today's class is titled Payment for the Preacher, Tithes for the Priest. And some of y'all may not remember, but the reason why I'm doing this particular class is because about 3 or 4 weeks back, I had a sister come on the stage after she heard me say that tithing is not mandatory today. And even when it was mandatory, it was never money, and it was only for the Levites. It is a Levitical law. And she tried to come on the stage, and this is not a shot at her. I'm just telling y'all what went down. So she tried to come on the stage and try to express that tithing was money and it's still mandatory today. Now, y'all know me. The teacher in me has to keep it honest. She did a piss poor job. Simple and plain. I've heard better arguments made about it. Still wrong, but just better arguments. And she just kept on focusing on the word shekel for some reason. Even though people have heard me do many classes in which I have brought out that, yes, ancient Israelites had currency. You know, they used gold and silver, and they had names for their currency, just like, you know, we got pennies and quarters over here. You know, they got shekels and dirhams and all that thing, all those things, right? Nobody was talking about that. Nobody ever said that Israel did not have monetary currency. We just said that that was never applied to the tithes. And one thing I can't stand, whether you're doing it intentionally or not, is when you strawman me. Now, for those of you who don't know, when you strawman somebody, that means you take something they're saying and you alter it a bit. You don't completely alter it, because when you do that, you're just changing the whole topic. But you take something that somebody is saying and you alter it a little bit, and then you start attacking the change that you made as if that's what that person is saying. It's called a straw man argument. So she turned what I said about tithing not being mandatory, nor was it ever money, into a discussion about did Israel have a monetary system. And see, people sometimes do that intentionally, and sometimes people do that when they misunderstood something you said. But even after I made it clear that that's not what I'm saying, she proceeded to continue talking about this shekel. And everywhere she went, where she read it, it had nothing to do with tithing. The word tithe wasn't there. The word priest wasn't involved in receiving the tithe. Nothing. Right? So just like other things in this Bible, some things are sensitive. And the more sensitive a subject is to someone, the harder they will fight you on it. If something hits close to home on someone, don't expect them to just roll over and be like, all right, you know what, I stand corrected. They may do it later down the line, but in the heat of the moment, no, they're going to fight you tooth and nail. No matter how much sense you make, no matter what you're showing in the scriptures, if it is sensitive to them, they're not going to go easily. They're going to go kicking and screaming. Now, what these people who do that don't realize is that everybody on the outside looking in are looking at you like you're just an idiot, because they can all see it. And they can all see that the only thing that's keeping you in the fight, so to speak, is your pride. And when people are real sensitive about topics, they get real prideful about them too. And once somebody starts tapping into their pride, conversation needs to end, which is why I got her off the stage, or either she got off on her own. I really don't remember, because this is a decent sister and she'll tend to just excuse herself, right? But I don't really remember if I did it or if she got off the stage on her own. But I was done with the conversation anyway. Tithing, apparently, is a very sensitive topic to people, because we have been taught to believe that if we don't tithe, then God will not bless us, you know, financially. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. You want to be blessed financially. Notice I said blessed financially. I did not say filthy rich. Because just because you're blessed financially does not mean you're filthy rich. Blessed financially just simply means you're not behind on your bills. You're not in debt. You have money to spend on recreational activities and non-necessities. That's blessed financially. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want that. You know, who wants to be behind on their bills? Who wants to always be in debt? Always owing somebody? Who wants to never have any money to enjoy themselves? I don't know anybody on this planet in their right minds who wants to live that way. But they're being taught that if you don't tithe, then you will not be blessed financially that way I just described or otherwise. And so when somebody like me comes along and say, not only is tithing not mandatory, it was never money. See, now, I've struck a nerve. I've touched a sensitive spot. So now, when you touch a sensitive spot, and I want y'all to understand me and hear me on this, when you touch a sensitive spot psychologically as human beings, this is how God designed us. This ain't nobody's fault. Mentally, we automatically go into
defense mode. We start erecting emotional walls. Oh, he's not going to get through this wall. No, he's not going to get through to me. And this is the reason why we always tell you, you have to check your emotions at the door when you come in this room, because we don't care how personally feel about anything. If it's not backed up by the book, I'm not going to give it a second look. See, I got to rhyme sometimes, Kevin, so they remember. You follow what I'm saying? Right?
Bars.
Right? I'm not going to give it a second look. And I tell them in a minute. They get mad. You cutting me short. Bro, you already don't show me that you don't understand or it's not in there. So I don't want to hear you give your personal opinion on something. Not to say that in general your personal opinion don't count for something. Just in what we're talking about here, it doesn't count. So I said to myself, okay, I've done a class showing that tithing is not mandatory today. And even when it was only for the Levitical priests, and it was never money. And I've done a class showing that preachers of the gospel are supposed to, it's a commandment to be paid. This is not, Brother Josh, how I feel. So what I decided to do is something I never even thought about. It never even occurred to me. Why don't I touch on both in a single class and put them right next to each other so people can clearly see the difference? Because what's going on is people are taking two completely different precepts from the Bible and they're combining them into one. That's all that's going on. See, the good in us know, in good people, the good in good people know, it just doesn't feel right if I'm not supporting this brother, and in some cases, this sister, for all the stuff that they do. See, for a lot of people, it's second nature. Look, man, this guy putting in work every week, every day. We need to support him any way we can, mostly financially, because that's the easiest way to support somebody. See, a lot of good people just instinctively know that. It makes sense to them, right? But unfortunately, people take advantage of these people and make them feel obligated to do more than they have to. So they tell you you're supposed to be tithing, which is 10% of your income. That's what they'll tell you. So now every time you get paid, say you get paid $600 a week, you're throwing $60 to your pastor or your camp leader or whatever. Now, there's nothing wrong with you doing that if you choose to do that, but they make you feel obligated to do that. But again, that's not tithe. That never was tithe. And then there are other people who believe that it's a scam for any preacher or camp leader or whatever you want to call them to ask for any money, because for some reason, people think that just because it pertains to the Word of God, it don't supposed to cost you anything. That's another misconception, too. People think that preachers are supposed to hold down a whole job and a whole family and any other challenges of life and then turn around and teach you, and all you got to do is show up. You don't have to work at all. But the priest is supposed to get compensated for the sacrifice that he's making. And they get real crazy. Oh, they're asking for money. See? And they say that's wrong. So what I'm going to do in this class today is I'm going to show y'all both. I'm going to show you payment for the preacher and tithes for the priest. And if you're honest, you'll see these are two totally different things. And only one of them is mandatory today, and that's the payment for the preacher. You are supposed to pay your preacher. You're supposed to try to support him. I'm going to show you that they look at this, preaching the gospel, just like any other profession in ancient Israel. They looked at it the same way. Jesus describes it, words it the exact same way. No different at all. So we're going to deal with the people who try to you know, defame you because you asked for support for your ministry or specifically for yourself. They try to defame your character. They try to say, see, he's asking for money. You're not supposed to ask for money. You're supposed to teach the word of God for free. Yes, you are supposed to teach the word of God for free. I do that every week or every time I'm on Clubhouse. Nobody has ever heard me say, until I get a certain amount of money, I'm not going to teach. I teach whether people pay or not. That part is not for me to decide. I'm supposed to preach anyway. But God demands that the people who consider me, now this is very important, y'all, Kevin, this is very important. The people who consider me to be their teacher or one of their teachers, y'all supposed to be breaking the brother off. I'm going to talk directly to y'all, and then I'm going to show it to you. And not just me, anybody else who holds that sacred position in your life. You could be over at the God First Gang, listening to Corey Brewer and Mal Halal. You believe those brothers are preachers of the gospel? If you believe that, y'all won't be paying them brothers. That's book. This is not just for me. I'm speaking on behalf of every preacher of the gospel. It doesn't matter if I agree with the specifics of their doctrine. This is the way it's supposed to be. But the first thing I have to show you is that it is a profession. It's a job. And Israel had very specific laws about paying people who work for you. First, I got to show you that. Then I'm going to show you that Jesus calls it a job and Paul calls it a job and both of them say you're supposed to get paid for it. I'm going to show you that. Not a tithe. That's the payment for the preacher part. Then after that, we're going to deal with the tithe for the priest, and you're going to see the two. They're different. Stop combining precepts. That's another problem that I never really just addressed before, but that's what people do. They combine precepts. You're not supposed to do that. So first we're going to start is at Leviticus 19 and 13. Y'all need to understand this. Because when that sister was on the stage that day, and she was just straining to try to make payment for a preacher be money, y'all even heard me tell her too. I said, you know, you ain't got to do that. You know, the Bible says preachers are supposed to get paid. You ain't got to try to tap into the tithing law to get your pastor broke off or to feel like he needs to be broken off. You don't got to do that. That was my only thing. Kevin J, ain't nobody ever heard me say, you're not supposed to pay your preacher. Anybody ever heard me say that, Kevin J?
No.
I ain't never said that. I just said it's not tithe.
Nope.
Stop combining precepts. Now, again, if you just choose to give 10% of your income, there's nothing wrong with that. Shoot, God might see your jail and decide to bless you. That is how it works. I know I might sound a little bit like Creflo right now, but that is from the book. You know, the more you give, the more, like, cheerfully, not out of obligation. That's how the blessing works. See, I teach it all. I don't care if it give me some side looks. That's the reality of it. But I'm still going to teach it to you right. And y'all going to see this. Y'all can walk through this with me. We're going to check definitions in the concordance. We're going to walk all the way through this. And you ain't going to be able to say this, dude, don't twist it anything. It's right there. It's always been there. But this is Leviticus 19 and 13. Read that first verse. Because that really was on my spirit, Kevin, when that sister was a shekel and a tithe, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to revisit this. You feel me?
Yes,
well, Leviticus 19 and 13, read, please.
19 and verse 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning.
Now, it said, thou shalt not defraud, which means cheat or scam or hustle your neighbor. Neither rob him. In what sense is it talking about? The wages of him, that means the payment, that is hired, that means somebody who's working for you, providing a service for you, doing a job for you, shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Meaning, at the end of the day, by sunset, you're supposed to pay people for the service that they do. That's how it was in ancient Israel. And it just said hired service. I mean, whatever job you got them hired to do, right? See, over here in the West, they make you wait a whole week or two before they pay us, right? But in ancient Israel, you got paid the same day. For some of us, that might not be such a good idea. Some of us need that discipline because some of y'all brothers wouldn't even have no rent if you got paid the same day. You have any rent money. You follow what I'm saying? So I can understand that. But the way they did it, if you got to be to work, say, at 6 o'clock, and you got off after eight hours, at the end of 8 hours, they standing there with your check. And you know what's so funny? Some jobs today still do it like that, but it's mostly like temp jobs. They pay you the same day, right? Some of them even do it in cash, right? But this is how they did in ancient Israel. But notice that they said, don't cheat anybody. What this means is saying, don't have people working for you, providing a service for you, doing a job for you, and you not paying them. That's what this is saying. And I'm going to show you that preaching the gospel is exactly that. That's the way Jesus described it, and he said you're supposed to get paid for it. That's what he said. So a lot of y'all have been defrauding the hell out of these preachers because y'all ain't been paying them. And then when somebody like me come along, y'all, he's trying to charge for the word of God. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you how it's set up. They had a system. And then you wonder why your financial situation all jacked up, because it ain't just got nothing to do with the preacher. Anybody who you're cheating that's doing a job for you by not paying them, God is going to punish you. Y'all need to understand this stuff. This is just the way it's set up. But,
hey, Josh.
Huh?
But real quick, how often do you get requests for classes? Can you
tell people
that?
Yeah, people request classes all the time.
Past
and present.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Right?
You know what I'm asking. You know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right. That's a request. That's a job. But let me tell y'all something, though. I do this as a service. Right? Y'all have to understand this. This is my job. See, the thing about being a preacher is God just told you to do it, whether you get paid or not. See, it's not on me to try to hold out until y'all pay me. I'm going to just preach regardless. But God is going to deal with the people who's defrauding me and who's defrauding other people. Because like I said, this ain't just for me. This for anybody who's doing it. It could be Corey Brewer. It could be Captain Kazaria. It can even be Black Jesus Minister. If you consider him to be your main teacher, y'all supposed to be paying these people. But we don't been, you know, soured by fake prosperity preachers. And now we like, man, we're supposed to pay nobody nothing. But y'all don't seem to think about the fact that while y'all out living y'all best life, we putting in all the study work so y'all can benefit. I'm not saying you can't do it. Now, y'all ain't never heard me say that. But that would mean that now you have to find time off your day to research and do this studying and hold down everything else in your life. And let me tell you, it ain't easy for everybody. So, yes, I do the work for you. That's my job. So y'all always depend on Josh to come up with this stuff. That's my job. It's like your wife, Kevin, complaining to you, you know what, man, every time the car breaks down, you go to a mechanic. Well, baby, I don't know nothing about cars. You feel me? So what you want me to do? Well, you need to learn about cars. So you want me to find time to learn how to do mechanical work on cars while at the same time holding out my regular job and dealing with all the other stuff that life throws at me. I got to take time to become a mechanic, too. That's why we have people with trades. So you don't have to do everything. Can you imagine if you had to be an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter? Some of y'all stay in apartments and houses right now. What if you had to build it? What if you had to wire it up? What if you had to get plumbing to it? You got to do all of that yourself. Ain't nobody going to do that. Not an average person. So I'm doing this for you. Don't feel bad. Don't feel slighted. Man, I just hate that, man. I can't come up with this stuff myself like he do it or how the other ones do it. Don't feel bad for that. This is the service. You understand what I'm saying? That's my job. That's what I'm here to do. And if I'm not doing my job, then you pull me to the side and be like, yo, Josh, man, you know, you ain't doing your job, man, so don't trip if you don't see no cash apps no more. This is a job. I know I'm making it sound like, you know, normal, but it's still a job. I'm going to show y'all that. And if you are not paying people for the work they do for you, whether it's a preacher or a plumber, God is not happy with you. So the first thing you got to get out your head is just because it's preaching, it's not a profession. Therefore, I'm not going to treat it as such. Oh, yes, you do. Just like you paid that electrician to come and fix your panel, you're supposed to pay that preacher to come and fix in your life. But let's keep going. I'm going to show y'all. Let's go to Deuteronomy 24. That's the first thing I got to show y'all, how they felt about paying people for their service. See, we got to deal with everything. We got to deal with mental illnesses. We got to deal with work etiquette. We got to deal with righteous business practices. Some of y'all trying to start businesses right now. That's good. I hope you achieve it. But you don't even understand that preaching the gospel is a business. It is. They call it a business all the time. And y'all think that these people just supposed to do all the work and y'all don't supposed to support them at all in no kind of way. Well, it's the word of God. He's supposed to do that for free. The Bible never says that. It never says that. We putting in work.
And then we guys had it pretty good.
Yeah. They did. This is Deuteronomy 24. Let's hear a repeat of this particular precept we just read in Leviticus 19 and 13. This is Deuteronomy 24, 14 to 15. Read that, please.
It's Deuteronomy chapter 24. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of the breath of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gate.
Now, let me give y'all a little historical context on here. Because at this time in history, if you were a hired servant, it automatically meant you were poor and needy because you had to hire yourself out to work for somebody else. That's why they describe them as poor and needy. You follow what I'm saying? But this law still is telling you, you shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren, you know, other Israelites, or of the strangers, non-Israelites, that are in thy land within thy gates. How do you oppress a hired servant? That means somebody who you hired to do a particular service for you. How do you oppress them? Read them in verses, I'm going to tell you.
At his day, thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon him, for he is poor, and set his heart upon him. Be quiet is thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee.
It says, at his day, you shall give him his hire. That means you shall pay him. That day. That's how they did it back then. That day, neither shall the sun go down upon it. See, that's how they did it in ancient Israel, Kel. You got paid that same day. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
That's how they did it, right?
Yeah.
It says, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it. He is setting his heart upon what? His money. And in this context, heart means mind. So you can actually translate this to say, for he is poor and his mind is on his money. That's what they didn't say, didn't tell. I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. That's exactly what this is saying, y'all. He set up his heart upon his money. Right? His mind is on his money, on his payment. That's what that is saying. Do y'all know I got the poll? Do everybody else on the stage see that this is saying? Come off your mic if you can. Do everybody else see that? Am I stretching this? Is this a stretch?
Not at all.
That's what they're saying in the chat. If you see it, give me a one. Y'all see that what it's saying? He set his heart upon it. Like, he's looking forward to that. His mind is on that. That's what it says. Right? And then it said, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. Now, let me break this part down to you. See, in the Bible, if somebody did you wrong, especially in the Old Testament, you read in ancient Israel, and it said you cried against them to the Lord for the wrong they did you, the Bible tells you that the Lord is going to deal with them. Mm. So I said, let thee cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto you. What's the sin? You're not paying the man for his services. That's a sin. But that's common sense when it comes to every other profession but preaching. You don't see it as a sin that this man is providing you a service, or that man or that woman providing you a service, and which many of us would agree is the most important service you can get. But you don't see it as a sin when you're not breaking that person off. But ain't no way in the world you're going to cheat your mechanic, Kevin. You're going to make sure you pay him. Is not your salvation and your life more important than your car? But I'm going to show y'all that it's a profession. And if you don't believe me, I'm pretty sure some of y'all Bibles have a cross-reference. When we read it, taking you right back to this law, we start reading about Jesus saying it. It's going to take you right back to this law. So they're coming up with the same thing. They can see it too. But we've been corrupted by the Christians and the Hebrews when it comes to preachers getting paid, and some of us don't know what to believe. Some of us are so scared, we're just going to tithe just to be on the safe side. Hey, he getting that 10%. And some of us are so angry, we don't want to give anything because we have been tricked by the prosperity preacher. Nobody is really just sitting down and putting the two right next to each other to show you. That's what I'm doing for y'all today. But first, I got to show y'all how they looked at it when it came to paying people for services. You're supposed to try to pay them that same day. Now, of course, over here, y'all, we know, like, say if Kevin came to me, you know, I'm an electrician. If Kevin came to me and said, Brother Josh, I need you to do something in my house for me, but I'm not going to be able to pay you, man, until like next Friday when I get paid. Can you do me that favor? If I agree to that, no sin has been committed.
Right.
Right? But if Kevin got that money right now, and it ain't going to hurt him to pay me what I'm asking for, then the Bible also says, don't, tell, this is in Proverbs, you know, they give that which is good to whom it is due, and don't hold it back from them until tomorrow when you have it to give it to them today. So you don't supposed to be, because only he would know that. He could lie like, yeah, man, I ain't going to have that money until next Friday. But he know he got $250 that he can give me for what he asked me to do right now. But he's trying to get me to agree for something later because he tried to defraud me. So if somebody needs your help with something and they're telling you, yo, I can't pay you until later, and, you know, they cool people, then if you agree to that, then you go ahead and help them out. Then they'll pay you when they get it. But don't tell me I got you today, Josh, and then when I'm done with the job, actually, I ain't going to be able to pay you the next week, bro. That's called defrauding him. And, of course, if you have it that day, you're supposed to pay them that day if you have it. Otherwise, don't ask nobody to do a job for you. Y'all understand that? Unless, you know, it's a friend, you come in and you try to work it out, right? But now, Deuteronomy, we are Deuteronomy 24.
Here we
have
14 and 15.
14 and 15. Okay, let's go to the Apocrypha. Let's go to Sirach. In the little red Apocrypha is Sirach or Ecclesiasticus. 34 and 22. But in the Septuagint is 31 and 22. And in the Septuagint, in the Apocrypha section, is on page 102. That's just how it is. Page 102. This is Ecclesiasticus, chapter 31 and 22 in the Septuagint, chapter 34 and 22 in the little red 1611 edition Apocrypha. Right? So I'm reading out the Septuagint. So it's Sirach or Ecclesiasticus 31 and 22. Read that, please, Kevin.
He that takes away his neighbor's living slayeth him. And he that defrauds the neighbor is hired in the bloodshed.
Look what this just said right here. It said, he that taketh away his neighbor's living. You know, they say, what did you do for a living? Slayeth him. How are you doing that? And he that defraudeth the laborer, that means cheat the worker by not paying them or not paying them everything you owe them. He that defraudeth the laborer, his hire, you know, his payment, his money, is a blood shedder. The Bible is saying that when you don't pay people who do a job for you what you owe them, you're no different from a murderer. Kind of hit home kind of hard just then, did it, Gail?
Real hard. I didn't see that come.
That's what that says. They didn't pray about that in ancient Israel. That's why I take a big issue with people who try to get other people fired. You know, unrighteously.
Right?
You try to kill this man. And you know what's so funny? I had a man tell me a long time ago when I first entered the electrical trade, because we call it, you know, in some of y'all, you know, work in trades like electricians, plumbers, carpenters, we call it getting your money. We call it getting your money. Like if somebody gets you fired, we call it them trying to get your money. And it has two meanings. Get your money means, you know, trying to stop you from getting paid, but we also call it getting your money because if you get fired in a trade, they give you all the money that you worked up to the point you got fired right then and there. They don't make you wait. Right? So we call it getting your money. And I had a guy tell me a long time ago when I first entered the trade, he said, man, somebody's trying to get my money, the same they're trying to kill me. He said, this is what I do for a living. This is how I eat. He said, they trying to kill me. I don't think he got that from the Apocrypha. I think he just kind of pieced that together himself, Kev.
Yeah, for sure, common sense, really.
You feel me? But this is telling you, if you don't pay people for the work they do for you, you are a blood shedder. But let me show you how it looks in another translation. We're going to go to the Good News translation. I'm going to show y'all this stuff. And I'm going to show y'all how this reads. This is Sirach 34 and 22 in the Good News translation. And it says, or the GNT, and it says, it is murder to deprive someone of his living or to cheat an employee of his wages. Do I need to break that down, Kev?
Not at all.
So what's going to happen when I show them that preaching is a job? It's a labor. And that Jesus said that you're supposed to get paid for it. First, I'm going to show you that he set it up that way, and then Paul comes along later and say, this is how everybody's supposed to do it. This is a book. This ain't tithe, though. You feel me? This still not tithe. Right?
No.
This is a profession. Pay people for the services they do for you. Most of you are already doing that. I don't think it's too many people on this stage or listening in this room who don't pay people for the work they do. I don't think it's too many people that do that. I think all of y'all pretty much make sure y'all break people off for the services they do for you. The problem is, y'all don't know that what I do and what a lot of other people do every week and sometimes two and three times a week is also a service that we're supposed to get broken off of. I'm just letting y'all know. You do whatever you want after that. Don't worry about it, y'all. I'm not going to cry to the Lord against none of y'all. It ain't that serious for me. But that don't mean that's the only way he's going to know. You feel me?
Right. Right.
Y'all know God knows everything. God knows who holding back and who just simply can't. He knows that. So I'm not even going to trip. I'm just letting y'all know. Just like I know, let y'all know everything else. I'm not preaching this any harder than I preach anything else. Am I, Kevin? Same energy. Same energy. If it's your first time hearing me, man, he going in real hard for that money. Go back and listen to my replays.
Right.
I go in real hard for everything.
All the time.
Same energy. No matter what I'm talking about. It can be a soft subject. I'm still yelling it. Y'all know that. Y'all know. But let's move on. Now, let's go to Luke 10. Let's see what Jesus had to say about this. I'm putting them right next to each other, Kel, so you'll never confuse payment for the preacher with tithes for the priest. You'll never confuse them again after this. I'm putting them in the same lesson. I'm making it super easy for you. I'm doing all the work for you. It's funny how I'm wording it like that. I wasn't wording it like this at first, but I was thinking like that's what I'm doing. This is the way I look at it, y'all, and feel free to, you know, disagree with me if you want, because this ain't like a right or wrong thing. This is how I look at it. The way I look at it, if I teach on a topic, the more work you have to do on that topic after I'm done, the worse job I did. That's the way I look at it. But if after I'm done, you're like, man, he completely covered that. That don't mean I touched on every single thing referring to it, but I completely covered it to the point where now we understand it. We know this is the way it is.
Right.
If I do it like that, then that's a job well done. Because you don't supposed to pay somebody if they ain't doing their job. See, that's another thing I want y'all to understand. And y'all know I tell y'all that too. Y'all paying people who are not deserving of what you're paying them. They're not giving you doctrine. But let me show you something. This is Luke chapter 10. This is when Jesus first set it up. When he first set it up, so y'all can see. This is how Jesus set it up. Josh did not set it up like this. Luke 10. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. Go ahead and read, please.
This is Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed only 70 also,
mm-hmm.
and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place,
mm-hmm.
whither he himself would come.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Notice that Jesus is calling these people laborers.
Laborers.
Did we just not read in Ecclesiasticus 31 or 34 and 22 where it tells you, he that taketh away his neighbor's living, slay of him, and he that defraudeth the laborer, his hire is a blood shedder. So some people might say, well, he just meant that metaphorically. Metaphorically, they're doing the Lord's work. Now, they're literally laborers. Laborers. They're literally that. We're going to show you that. Go ahead and read.
3. Go your way, and behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way.
And by the way, it says, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoe, and salute no man by the way. That word purse is talking about for holding money. If you don't believe me, hold your spot here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to read the same account. Then we're going to come right back. Matthew chapter 10. And read verse 9.
This is Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse.
Hold up. So he's sending them out. Now turn back to Luke chapter 10. Turn back to Luke chapter 10. Now, notice he told them, don't take any money. That's what he said. Don't take any money with you. So Jesus sent these dudes out broke, right? Well, you know, y'all know how we do. Somebody invites you somewhere. You're like, yo, man, let me grab my wallet. No, man, you ain't going to need it. What's the only time people say that? If y'all going somewhere that costs money and they say, you ain't going to need your wallet or you ain't going to need to bring no money. What's the only time somebody say that, Kev, when they going to do what?
They're paying my way.
When they paying your way.
Right.
But watch it up. Now go back to Luke chapter 10, right? Pick it up in verse 5. Watch what it says.
And into whatsoever house he entered, first say, peace be to this house.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. If not, it shall turn to you again.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things
as they give, for the labor work is worthy of his hire. Go not from the house, go not from house to house.
He said, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now, what in the world does that mean? We're going to read it in other translations. He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And notice he told them, don't bring any money.
Yeah.
Even in the ancient world, whenever you traveled and went somewhere, you needed money. He's telling them, don't bring any money. And he's telling you, the reason why you don't bring money is because the laborer is worthy of his hire. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this in three other translations and watch what it says so y'all can see your boy not making anything up. This is when Jesus first set this up. And remember that laborer is worthy of his hire because it's going to come back again. Look what it says right here. It's Luke 10 and 7 in the ERV or easy to read version. And it reads, stay in the peace-loving house. Eat and drink what the people there give you. A worker should be given his pay. Don't leave that house to stay in another house. He said a worker should be what?
Given his pay.
And you know it means money, actual money, not just food, because he told them, don't bring any money. It said a worker should be given his pay. Look how it reads in another translation. We're going to go to the NIV or New International Version. This is Luke 10 and 7. Look what it says. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. What does it mean a worker deserves his wages? What does that mean, Kevin?
He deserves to get paid.
But don't that sound like what we were reading in the law about workers and hirelings in general?
Sure
did. Pay them for their services? That's what they're saying, ain't it?
That's what they're saying.
Okay, we're going to read them one more. New Living Translation, Luke 10 and 7. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. And you know it's the context of money, which is why he told them not to bring any. Do I need to really just explain that? Workers deserve to get paid. In other words, these people who you're preaching the gospel to, they're going to pay you.
Right.
That's why you don't bring any money. He was so certain that they were going to get taken care of, he said, don't even bring your own money. Don't even bring any money. I ain't never felt that confident. Kel can tell me right now, yo, Josh, we finna go get something to eat, man. It's on me. I'm like, cool. I believe him. I ain't going to not keep any money on me at all. Jesus was so certain that the gospel preaching was going to take care of them. He said, don't even bring any money. Let that sink in for a minute. When have you ever went somewhere that you felt so comfortable that you didn't even feel like you need to carry any money in your wallet or debit or credit card? I don't even got to have no money on me. Because he knew the people were going to take care of them. That's how he set it up from the beginning, and Paul continued with that, and that was church doctrine. I'm going to show y'all that. Still ain't got nothing to do with tithes, though. It became church doctrine. The laborer, that means the one that put in his work in this gospel, they deserve to get paid. But y'all been defrauding us. I'm just going to just say how it is. I'm only talking to the ones, by the way. I ain't talking to somebody who just showed up for the first time or somebody in the audience who don't consider Brother Josh to be their teacher. Right? I'm talking to the ones who know they've been listening and learning and they really believe and they ain't breaking nobody off. And not just me. As I keep telling y'all, this ain't just me. Y'all ain't just doing this to me. I'm not the only victim here. There's a lot of these people on these Clubhouse apps who y'all will come in my room, come on my stage, and defend their names and their doctrine, but don't pay them brothers nothing. They're that important to you, but you ain't making him feel like he's worthy of his hire. You making him feel like he deserves to get paid. Y'all supposed to be paying these preachers. Me, Corey, Big Brother Zadok, Captain Tazaria. If y'all really accept them, that's the key, though. You got to be like, okay, I believe these brothers are preaching the truth of this gospel. And I'm always tuning in. I get a lot. I learn a lot. They're doing meal service. I'm learning something new every time I listen to one of them. I'm supposed to be paying them. And this is not something Jesus just set up for the 70. I'm going to show you that this continues to be church doctrine, a commandment. So for all y'all that give tithes, I can't do nothing but salute y'all. Because at least y'all are taking what y'all believe seriously. Y'all like, yo, I'm supposed to be paying that money, and I don't give a second thought. But you don't supposed to be paying tithes anyway. Tithes was only for the Levites, and it was never money. But your spirit, your heart is in the right place. You know you're supposed to be supporting this man. You're supposed to be paying him. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You learn all this stuff. It's a shame that you got people who will go on social media and go on other, you know, platforms and be like, yo, I learned so much from, say, Zadok. And you ain't never sent that man $10 since you've been listening to him. But you'll brag and say, I don't learn so much from him. Oh, man, Kevin did a good job on my house, man. He built my house. He built my house all real. I got 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. He even got a jacuzzi in there. He did a real good job. Yeah, man, how much that run you? Run me? I ain't paid that fool nothing. Huh? That sound right to y'all? That don't sound right to it, Kevin.
Not at all.
Did he say he ain't want no money? No, it didn't matter to me. I'm just not paying him. Y'all supposed to be paying us. It don't say how much, and it don't say how often. But you know what you can afford to do. I'm just putting it out there. Anybody got a problem with it?
Didn't Pete Paul his travels too?
Yeah, we're gonna get off from that. We're gonna get off from that.
Okay, cool. My bad. Okay.
Yep. Oh, they financed the traveling.
Yep.
They did that. They financed it. I would not have a problem with Creflo Dollar, TD Jakes, or any of those guys being as rich as they were, or are, if they were telling the truth.
Wow.
If they people want to just overindulge them, I'm gonna show you why Paul said that people overpaid him. So, you know, that's what they want. That's their business. Can't nobody tell you how much you can give your preaching. If that's what you feel moved to do, you can do that. But I just hope he's doing the job. I ain't never had a problem with a preacher getting paid. I got a problem with a preacher getting paid for not doing his job. And his job is to teach you the truth. That's what I get upset at. Right? But now we see that. He said that. A worker deserves to get paid. That's why he told him don't bring any money. Because the gospel is going to take care of you. That's what he is plainly telling these people. We got to keep it a buck. We got to keep it honest. We got to stop acting like we don't see what's obviously in the scriptures. But now, let's move on. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Let me bring something out to y'all that y'all got to understand. The apostles, they knew that preaching the gospel is a time-consuming profession. So you don't have much time to do anything else. Now, thank be to the Most High, because a lot of y'all don't know this about me. I recently started back working a second job. So I got 2 jobs. I'm working 16-hour days now. I'm not capping. I'm just telling y'all, you know, I always tell y'all what's going on with me. Y'all know that. I'm working 16-hour days, 4 days a week, and 10-hour days on Fridays, right? Monday through Friday. That's me. And I'm about to do this university, right? I'm going to announce when the date is, by the way. I ain't forgot about that, y'all. Remember, I told y'all I'm going to announce the starting date today. I told y'all that last week. And I'll be doing the university. And I still try to counsel people at ABT, right? And I try to do stuff on Friday with Big Brother Zadok when I'm not too tired, because I was too tired last night, y'all. That was my first week doing that, so I got to give my body time to adjust, right? But despite all of that, as long as God got breath in my body, I guarantee you I'll still be here every Sabbath to give y'all a different lesson. On top of that, see, I'm working two jobs. Paul and them didn't have to work at all. They chose to. See, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach the word regardless of what I got going on with me, as long as God give me the breath and the strength to do it. But that's how occupied I am, and I still try to make sure y'all get fed. A lot of y'all ain't got two jobs. Some of y'all ain't got a job because, you know, one of your spouses work, and you just saying you take care of the kids. Nothing wrong with that, man or woman. But I'm saying that's one less thing you have to worry about because I'm going to do it for you. That's why it was funny when Captain Zaria was telling people about my documentary I did. He said, and I quote, he does all the work for you. So all you got to do is watch it. And see, that's what really touched me when he said that. Not the fact that he even just came to me for help. That was good, too. But the fact that he understood that that's what my mission was, doing all the work for you. Don't feel bad if you feel like I got to lean on him. That's what my job is. Shoot, I'm one of them type of dudes where if the mechanic working on my car, I'm not over there asking him, is there anything I can do to help? No. I'm going to sit back and chill. You do what you do. Let me know when you're done.
Right.
And that's how you do everything else. You don't be peeping all over your plumber's shoulder or your electrician's shoulder or your mechanic's shoulder. You put your car in there, you go in the waiting room. Most places ain't even allowed in the work area anyway.
Yeah.
And they tell you when they done. You don't supposed to feel bad about that. That's the way it's supposed to be. So don't feel bad if you feel like, man, I don't never be able to come up with nothing on my own. You know, of course, during the week, because this is your word, this is your life. You're supposed to just be studying, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. But you don't feel bad if you can't do or don't have the time to learn how to do what I'm doing because your life is tied up. That's the whole point. That's what I'm here for. I do the work for you. That's what Zadok does. That's what the others do. This is a service. It's a job. Jesus called it a job. He said a laborer. That's a worker. That's an employee. That's a servant. He calls it a worker, and he say they deserve to get paid. And everybody like, nah, you don't supposed to pay them. Praise Jesus. And Jesus the one that say it's a job, and you're supposed to pay them. What in the world? But I'm going to show y'all that. Let's keep moving. We in Acts chapter 6. Because the apostles knew you can't do all of that and then be a preacher of the gospel. You know, thanks to technology and the fact that God, and this is not a brag, this is just me giving praise to God for my gift. Thank God that he can make me learn stuff real fast so within a week I got something else to talk about. Right? Despite all of this stuff that's going on. Because I have a real full schedule. Y'all know. And I still make it my mission to make sure I do my job every Saturday. Make it my mission. They asked me to come in today to work on Saturday. I said, nope, I'm good. It was optional. I said, no, I'm good. You follow what I'm saying? Why? I'm turning down money to do what? Work for y'all. And because, you know, we're both be working on Saturday if we can help it. Right?
This act, I have something, Brother Josh.
Go ahead, Judy.
I also wanted to add this because I know you're humble enough not to mention it, but you come on here, sick or not, for hours, not 30 minutes, not an hour, hours, plural, and you always bring in lots of verses, not one, two, or three and run with it, but lots, at least 10 typically. But I'm going to yield. Thank you.
Praise God, sister. Thank you for appreciating that.
You never have sick
for God. Yep. Even when I'm sick, I be doing it. Y'all don't even know a lot of times I be sick because I be coughing so much I just mute it. Y'all don't even hear me coughing sometimes. I've been real sick before. I just mute it. And then when I'm done having my coughing fit, I come right back home. Because, you know, unless, you know, this is the Most High got me doing this, and unless he completely incapacitates me, you know what I'm saying, that I can't just perform that week, then I'm going to come out and I'm going to do it. That's just the way that is. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get y'all there too. And y'all got brothers. I'm not the only person that's dedicated like that. It's a lot of people on this app and off it that dedicated. And then when I come on here and say, man, y'all supposed to be supporting these brothers financially, people looking at me crazy like I don't talk about their mama or something. And then that thing, you go on Facebook and they're making a post. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this week. Or, man, I just lost my job. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you've been defrauding the laborer of his hire and now God dealing with you?
Bring it out.
Has it ever occurred to you that when you heard a nice lesson that you've been hearing from a lot of these brothers consistently, and you just had a little funky $10 to spare, you put that in your pocket and said, nah, I'm going to keep that. He don't need that. Maybe that's why God started messing with you financially. See, this is what I believe, y'all, and we're going to read this. I believe that in whatever area of your life you're sinning in, that's where God punishes you at. That's how I look at it. So if you are a liar, I think God will have something bad happen to you that's related to lying. Like somebody might lie on you and get you in some stuff that you can't get out of. I believe that if you're messing around on your spouse, then God will either have your spouse mess around on you to get back at you, or your whole marriage will just get destroyed because they'll leave you. And I believe that if you're not doing right by the Lord financially, he'll start touching your finances. And that's the reason why a lot of y'all can't make ends meet, because financially you ain't been doing your part. But you've been getting served, though. And I'm not talking to everybody, because some of y'all, I'm going to speak plain to y'all. Some of y'all pay me very well. I'm just going to say it. Y'all pay me very well. And even throw in a couple of tips. You know, you be going to the restaurant and you tip sometimes, too. Some of y'all even be tipping your boy. I'm just going to keep it real. So it's all good. I'm not complaining at all. I'm complaining, not on a personal level. I'm complaining because it's not being done enough for every preacher. The preachers are the truth. Don't y'all find it funny? The preachers are the truth. Hardly ever get paid. But the lying preachers get all the money. That's how they do it. Just shift all that money you were getting to Creflo, give to Brother Josh and whoever else who y'all think is preaching the true gospel. That's all that's supposed to happen. That's how it's supposed to be. But I'm going to show y'all that. But let me show you why this preaching this gospel is time-consuming, and you really ain't got time to do anything else. This is Acts chapter 6, 1 and 2. When you get there, read, please.
This is Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples, there arose a murmuring of Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
Now, let me break this down for y'all. It says, in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, you know, the church is growing, more people starting to believe in Jesus, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. The Grecians were the Hellenist Jews, or Hellenist Hebrews. That means Greek-speaking Hebrews. So these are Greek-speaking Hebrews. Usually they were born outside of Jerusalem, right? So they're believers, though. And they're murmuring, they're complaining, because their widows, you know, these are women whose husbands died. And, you know, and by the way, let me just explain this. In ancient times, 99.9% of the income was earned by the husband and the husband alone. So if your husband died in the ancient world, in ancient Israel, you were in a real bad shape as a woman. You fell right in the category of poor, needy, and orphans. So what was going on is, there was a complaint being raised by the Greek-speaking Hebrews against the Hebrews born inside of Palestine or inside of Israel, because their widows, the Greek-speaking Jews, were neglected in the daily ministration, and they come out like the food distribution or money put forth to take care of these women that were widowed. So they're complaining. And, of course, in this time in the church when there was a complaint, they brought it to the elders who were the apostles. But watch what it says in verse 2. Read that.
2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve thanksgiving.
Now look what they said. Now, that sounds kind of harsh. Because these people are complaining, look, these widows who lost their husbands, they're not being taken care of, right? They're being neglected in the daily distribution of food and funds to take care of them, right? So he brought to the apostles, and the apostles, the 12, you know what I'm saying? It said, they said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Do you know what they're telling them, Kevin? What they're saying is, as important as this is that you're complaining about, it doesn't make sense for us to leave off preaching the gospel to do this. Because they wanted the apostles to start putting in their work with the ministration or the daily distribution of food and funds for the widows. So what the apostles said, man, we too busy preaching the word. Now read verse 3 and watch what it says.
Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
So he said, find seven other men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that they can appoint over that. We ain't got time to do that. Why did they not have time to do it? Because preaching the word of God or the gospel is a time-consuming job. Y'all understand that? So if it's so time consuming, that means for a lot of them, they could not even hold down a regular 9-to-5. So how could they make a living? How do they eat? How do they have somewhere to live? Because the people who were benefiting from the preaching was paying them. Can y'all imagine if I said that now? I ain't got time to work, y'all. I'm too busy preaching. I got to teach y'all. Somebody sooner or later is at least going to wonder, well, how is he financially supporting himself? That's a normal thing to ask. Like, how is he doing that? But we can't do that now. I can't just take off and be like, yo, y'all got to take care of me. He's like, who do you think he is? Right? In a better, I ain't going to say perfect, but in a better system, all the true preachers of the gospel should be able to do that. I'm going to show you that it says that. I should be able to go and announce before this whole clubhouse room, yo, y'all, I am officially retiring from my profession to be a full-time preacher. Where the money at? I should be able to say that. And Zadok and everybody else. And that's only if I wanted to do that, because not everybody wants to do that. The Bible don't say I have to do that. But the apostles had to let them know, Kevin, yo, we ain't got time for that. We're not saying it's not important, but we can't leave the word of God to serve some tables, dude. You feel me? Find somebody else to do it. Find seven men, you know, on his good report, filled with an Holy Ghost. Let them do that. We too busy. Right? Let's move on. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. So this type of stuff I be wanting to bring to y'all attention. A lot of times we take this stuff for granted. A lot of times while y'all are dealing with y'all everyday lives, and you're supposed to, and living your best life, having fun with your wives and your husbands, and playing with your kids without a care in the world, you ain't got to worry about the word of God at all, as far as like trying to learn something, until Saturday. It is a luxury. But a lot of y'all just take that for granted. You follow what I'm saying? You should feel like, we want you to feel comfortable like that. That's my job. You don't ever supposed to show up in this, if you've been studying with me for a minute now, you don't ever supposed to show up here, man, I wonder if Josh going to mess up this Saturday and teach some old nonsense or some old false doctrine. No, I have earned y'all trust, earned, right? And now you just sit back and chill and just like, yo, I pray that God keeps them safe and healthy so he can keep doing what he do. And I appreciate them prayers, and they definitely seem to have been getting answered up to this point. But you don't supposed to be defrauding me either, because I'm doing you a service. And you're supposed to be defrauding anybody else. But we're going to show you this is 1 Corinthians. This is where Paul lets you know this is the setup. And it's based off of what we read in Luke 10, 1 to 7. It's based off of that. You're going to be able to see it in the language. 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to read verses 1 to 14. People get mad because some preachers living real good. I'm not mad that they living real good. I'm not. I ain't never been mad at Creflo when he talks about, I got 3 private jets. You know, I used to be back in the day before I had this understanding that I'm teaching y'all now. Right? I'm not mad at him now. I'm mad that he's not telling people the truth. I'm not mad that he's making a come up. I'm mad that he's making a come up and he's not doing his job. That's what I'm upset about. How am I going to be mad at his congregation because they love him and want to bless him? I'm not mad at nobody for that. But, you know, people get mad now because they see preachers whose congregations love them and take care of them. That's what y'all supposed to be doing to y'all preachers. But we don't want to do that, though. I mean, so we either overindulge or we don't indulge at all. That's what we do, Kev.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying? But this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. When you get there, start at verse 1, we're going to read the 14. Go ahead and read, please.
Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?
He said, am I not an apostle? This is Paul defending his apostleship and the rights he has as an apostle, as a preacher of the word. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Or not you my work in the Lord? He's saying to the Corinthians, you are my job. He letting them see this. And obviously, he's writing this because it's an issue. The only time Paul wrote stuff back in his epistle to either address the issue or just, you know, salute people. But go ahead and read.
2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord.
It says, if I be not an apostle unto others, if other people don't see me as an apostle, then we tell these Corinthians, no doubt am I an apostle to you. He said, for the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. Like, y'all are the seal of that. Y'all the proof of that. Right? But read verse 3.
My answer to them that do examine me is this.
He said, my answer to them that do examine me is this. See, people were criticizing Paul. So he's responding to the criticism. Right? This is my answer to everybody that has something to say about me. That's what he's saying. And I'm saying the same thing to whoever may be listening who got something to say about me. Because I've had people try to defame me because I ask for donations or support for what I'm doing. And they go out now, you know, they try to say, like, you know, he asking for money and he asking for money. Okay. First of all, technically, it's not asking if you're doing a job. I don't know if people realize it or not, Kevin. When you do a job for somebody, you don't ask for your money. They're just supposed to pay you. Now, you might go and ask for your check, you know, like, hey, yo, my check here? Can I have my check? But you're not asking for it like it's a favor. You're asking for it because it's owed to you. You feel me? See, don't try to criticize me, too. You're not supposed to get paid. Right? They've done that. Of course, I don't care. But watch what else he said. Go ahead.
Okay, have we not power to eat and to drink?
He's asking a question. Have we, those that preach the gospel, have we not power to eat and drink? Now, what is he asking? He's not asking them, do we have the ability to eat and drink? Like, are we capable? He's asking them, don't we have the power to eat and drink on your dollar? That's what he's asking them. I'm going to tell you that. It's like if Kevin came in and said, Josh, don't I got the power to eat or drink something? If Kevin just said that to me, I'd be like, what's stopping you, bro? Go ahead. Go get you something to eat. Go get you something to drink. No. He's asking them, don't we have the power to eat and drink from the ministry? You want to see from the context as you keep reading. Go ahead and read.
Father, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas?
And that's Peter, by the way, right? And the brother of the Lord is James. He says, have we not power to lead about a sister? This is what you were talking about earlier with the traveling, right? Don't we got the power to travel with a sister or with a wife, as well as the other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? In the context that it's talking about, on y'all dollar. Don't y'all supposed to take care of this? If I want to travel with a sister or with a wife, don't y'all supposed to take care of those traveling expenses? Just the context. These days, I don't have people do both. I've had people who I've never met. They want me to come out. Josh, could you fly out to Memphis or come out to Memphis and see us? Ain't offer to pay for nothing. And I've had people also offer to pay. So I've had both happen to me. You want me to come, pay for my traveling expenses. Pay for my hotel. That's what you're supposed to do. Right? They just want you to just pop up. The audacity of some people, especially our people. Y'all know I ain't lying. Come on out. Now, of course, y'all know there are circumstances where people might really want you to come out, but they can't afford that. Just tell me that. I ain't going to eat your lunch. No, I'm the preacher. You supposed to pay for me. I ain't going to be out. Y'all, come on. They don't even sound like me good. You know, if I got it myself and somebody didn't really wanted me to come out to their spot that bad, I'll pay for myself. But don't just assume my generosity. Put the situation out there. You feel me? You know, speak up.
But this is Paul, though. Like, Paul literally knew. Paul knew that they were going to pay for stuff.
Exactly. And he just reminded them of that, right? But keep reading.
Six. For I only am Barnabas. Have not we power to forbear working?
Now look what he said. Or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working? Y'all know what forbear working mean? That means quit your job. Quit your 9-to-5. How are you going to support yourself, y'all? He said we got the power to do that. He didn't say the option. He said the power. That means I should be able to, Zadok and all the others, if it was a better situation, we should be able to go before our congregations if we wanted to and say, we want to do this full time. And we just hand y'all a list of all our expenses and let the church say amen. You feel me? That's how it's supposed to be if we want to do that. Right? Creflo Dollar ain't got to never work another day in their life.
If I may.
You know what I'm saying? Who that, Judah?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Well, one huge note that I wanted to add on here as well is the fact that whenever you do bring up these type of donations, always, always say, if the Spirit compels you, you always make sure you emphasize that it's not mandated, it's not mandatory, but if the Spirit compels you to do so. And so I just wanted to make sure that anyone who's listening, anyone who's taking notes, takes notes of that fact that you do that.
Yep.
And I appreciate that.
Yep. And the exact way, verbatim, that I always word it, if you feel like you're benefiting from what you're learning, don't I always say that, Kel and Judah? I always say that, don't I?
Yep.
I always throw that in there. It's on every replay, every single one. And if you feel like you're learning or you're benefiting from what you're learning and just want to show some support, I always say that. I never just be like, yo, support. I always say if you feel like you're benefiting. And I know a lot of y'all have been benefited. I ain't going to put nobody out there like that. I know that what I teach is good. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. You could be on the street selling some weed. You know if you got some good weed or not. Y'all know I make the point. Shoot, a drug dealer can be proud of his product, but I can't be proud of mine. I'm just talking. Y'all know I never talk at y'all. I always talk to y'all. Some of y'all know. Some of y'all, you know, y'all don't deal with the street pharmacy side of this. Some of y'all don't been the street pharmacist. And I'll be right there on that corner, yo, man. I got that good. And then you start telling them how good it is. You know, I stand behind my product. I don't hear y'all do say that. I stand behind my product. They proud of it. So I know that, you know, I'm teaching good doctrine. I know that. And I'm going to let people know that. I ain't going to be like, well, you know, it might be good. You know, it might be the truth. No. That's bad salesmanship. You feel me? It might be good. Next clubhouse room. You feel me?
Right.
But keep it moving. What's the next verse? Verse 7.
I think we get a little bit of echo from Q Jeff. I'm not sure.
Somebody, let me see if it's me. Let me see. Try it. I'm going to come off and come back on. All right, try it now.
Hey, you hear me okay?
Yeah, you good.
I still hear an echo. Anyone else?
Is anybody else off their mic? Because I've been off my mic the whole time, and we weren't getting no echo. Let me check out my mic, and then let me see if you go. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. I'll be verse 7. Who goeth to warfare, edifies at his own charge? Who plants a vineyard, and he is not of the full fruit thereof? Or who feeds his flock, and he is not of the milk of the flock?
Now look what Paul is asking here. In fact, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? In other words, he's asking you, when you are in the military and you go to war, you don't finance your own uniform. The military supplies that. You don't pay for the guns. The military supplies that. Even over here in America, when you join the military, they ain't got no sign-up fee. Not that I know of. You know, they could change some stuff up. I don't know. But you definitely ain't paying for no tank. They ain't like, if you want to use their tank, you got to put something on it. No. He's letting you know. Then he says, who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Right? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Technically, you drink milk, but whatever. It's the King James Version, y'all. What you want? But y'all know what this is saying, right? All he is saying is what you put work in on, you're supposed to get something out of that. He just told him, you are my work in the Lord. So what you're putting work in, you're supposed to benefit from that. Financially, that's what he's talking about. Everybody says we got the power to stop working if we want to. Quit our jobs. Jobs pay money. But go ahead and read.
These things as a man. For says not the law, saying also.
So now he's bringing the law into it. He said, am I speaking as a man? In other words, is it just a man's opinion? Or does the law, which is the holy word, does it say the same thing? He's going to give you an example. Go ahead and read.
9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that brings out the corn. Does God take care for oxen?
It says, for it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? See, they had a law that said if an ox was treading the corn, you are not allowed to put a muzzle on his mouth, because that's cruel. He's doing all the work, but you're not letting him eat any of the little corn that he's treading on as he goes. And Paul is letting you know, is God just talking about taking care of oxen? Go ahead and read. Watch what he tells you.
Verse 10. Or say he is altogether for our sake? For our sake is no doubt. This is written, that he that plough should plough in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope.
So Paul, I have to ask you, is God saying this for the sake of oxen? declare thee it altogether for our sakes, the preachers of the gospel. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. So if you're doing that work, you should have hope of getting something for that work. Then it says, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So I'm doing all the threshing, but I'm supposed to be a partaker of what I'm threshing. So that's how a lot of people we want it to be. He don't supposed to get paid. He just supposed to just preach. No. Paul is letting them know. And he's doing this as a response to people that examine or criticize him. But go ahead and read. Watch what it says.
Verses 10. No, sorry, verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things.
Whoa. Can you believe Paul said that? Look what he told them Corinthians. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? That means your material things. Your earthly things. He says, if we have sown unto you, sown means planted. If we have planted spiritual things, if we are teaching you the word of God, which is spiritual, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? In other words, what he's giving you is way more valuable than what you can give him from a carnal perspective. This is what Paul is telling you. Y'all throwing up material stuff to me. I'm throwing spiritual things to y'all. None of you, listen, can ever pay me enough for what I do. Or anybody else that's teaching the truth. You can never pay me enough. You can give me $1 billion. It wouldn't be enough because no amount of money can be measured toward this truth. Y'all know that. So Paul is letting them know, how is it a great thing if we reap your carnal stuff? What's the big deal? What we're giving you cannot even be compared. You can't even compare your carnal stuff to it. He's letting them know. And you're gonna get an echo of what Jesus told these other people too. But go ahead and read.
Verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things. This we should hinder the gospel of Christ.
And he said, if others be partakers of this power over you, like other preachers of the gospel, or not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So when it came to the Corinthians, Paul said, we did not use this power, even though others have done it. He said, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ, because people would see Paul and the other apostles with him getting taken care of and then start trying to criticize and make it seem like, oh, he's only in this for the money. So Paul chose not to exercise this power because the people in his day were trying to use that against him. But you're going to read later where he still commanded the church to still do it for other people, though, even though he personally decided not to do it. And this is just with the Corinthians, by the way. But go ahead and read.
Hey, Doc, let me go on and come back in.
All right.
I'm still getting an echo. Hey, Big Baby said I'm in a cave somewhere. Hey, let me try to go out and go back in. You see that help.
All right.
Well, no. And, Josh, I think it's when your mic is unmuted.
But it just started happening because my mic was unmuted the whole time. So it's just now starting to happen.
Watch, try to say something again. It's going to happen.
Did he leave and come back?
I'm going to leave and come back.
All right, try that. I'm going to do it too.
Okay, I'm back. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
We good now, right?
Yeah,
we just had to leave and return, right? Okay.
Okay, hopefully I'm out the cage for good.
Right. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Now, read verse 13.
Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live other things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?
Now, this is the one time in the New Testament where Paul is using the Levitical priesthood as an example of how things always work with God's religious leaders. He's asking them, he says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? When the ancient Israelites were making these sacrifices of these animals, don't y'all know that the Levitical priests live off those sacrifices? They ate that stuff. Every offering, not just the animal sacrifices, the grain offerings, the drink offerings. What y'all think they were doing with that stuff? Just throwing it away? He's letting you know God always had it set up that the people who minister holy things live off those holy things. And he says, live of the things of the temple. Did Paul say in other letters that the church is the temple?
Yeah.
So I'm living off the temple as a preacher, but that's wrong. That's how I've always been. That's what he's trying to tell them. Individually, it says our body is a temple, but Paul told the collective too. He said, you are the temple. He was talking to the church, believers. But they get mad when a preacher is living off the temple. A religious leader is living off the temple. That's how God always had it set up. We're going to see that a little later when we deal with the Levites. Right? So go ahead and read.
14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
The Lord has suggested. Did it say that?
No.
The Lord has advised.
Ordained.
Even so have the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Kevin, do I preach the gospel every Saturday?
Yes, sir.
So why everybody looking at me stupid if I'm telling them that I'm supposed to be able to live of the gospel? Why everybody saying preachers aren't supposed to get paid? Paul just said the Lord has ordained. But let me show you how I read the other translation, just in case you want to act like they're ignorant and don't understand. This is 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14. And first we're reading it in the NIV, New International Version. 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to read 14. Look what it says, 13 and 14. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offering? Verse 14. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Why everybody acting crazy? Should be supported by those who benefit from it. Now, Kevin, let me ask you a personal question. You can't speak for everybody else. Just Kevin.
Yeah.
Do you benefit from what I'm preaching?
100%.
See? People say yes to all of that and then turn around and be like, no, but we're supposed to pay you. That's how it's supposed to be. Paul and them are dead, y'all. So who's picking up the mantle to keep this thing going? Whoever that is, that's who y'all supposed to shift the support to. It said God has ordained, that means ordered. If Paul said God ordered that those that preach the gospel should be supported by those who benefit from it, that means the ones benefiting from it are ordered to support them. But sadly to say, a lot of us ain't been getting much support. Not all around. I'm not talking to my supporters. Y'all know who y'all are. Y'all know I ain't talking to y'all. But I'm speaking for me and everybody else. I don't think y'all support like y'all should. Y'all don't be paying these people all this work they be doing. And I'm just on here once a week, twice if you count Friday nights with the frankincense. You got some people be on here every day. Y'all don't throw them a dime. And you don't feel any kind of way about that. But they put in all this work. Y'all defrauding people. Y'all saying the labor is not worthy of the hire. That's the message you would be saying to me. If I did a job at your house, you're like, man, I ain't even going to pay you for that. Did I do a bad job? That's the first thing I'm going to ask. No, man, the job was superb. Then why don't I deserve to get paid? So it ain't me. It's you. You don't want to pay nobody for their services. You want to defraud your neighbor. You want to defraud the hireling. But let me try to read in the New Living Translation, the favorite alternative translation, by the way. This is 1 Corinthians. Let me try to read. I hope I didn't read these in reverse. Did he read exactly the same way? Oh, no, it's not. Let me see what I got here. Okay, this is what I did. The one I just read, that was the New Living Translation. The one I'm about to read now is the New International Version. I got them open on separate pages because that's the only way I can get two verses on the same page. So what I just read was the New Living Translation. What I'm about to read here is the New International Version, right? So this is the NIV right here, 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. Look what it says. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? Verse 14. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. What's he call it? He called it their what? Their living. Did you see that, Kevin?
Yeah.
Their living.
They're living from the gospel.
They should receive their living from the gospel. But wait a minute. When we go back to Sirach or Ecclesiastes, chapter 31 or 34 and verse 22, it says, he that taketh away his neighbor's living, slay of him. And he that defraudeth the laborer, his hire, is a bloodshedder. Notice it called it a living in the Apocrypha, and it calls it a living in the NIV, because they know that's what this is talking about. Mm. It said they should get their living from the gospel. Yes, preachers are supposed to get paid. What is wrong with y'all? But read verse 15. This is what Paul said he did.
Verse 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. But it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void.
He said, but I have written that none of these things be done to me, to the Corinthians. Because in other places, he was bragging about how good they were taking care of him.
Right.
Right? Because people were heavily criticizing him. That's a choice he made. But he's letting them know you're supposed to be paying the preachers of the gospel. Payment for the preacher, tithes for the priest. But let me show you another one. Then we're going to get to these tithes. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. These are sensitive topics, Kevin. You talk about marriage. You talk about money. You follow what I'm saying? You talk about how women dress. You know, people, you know, they get in their feelings. But when it, but when it comes to the scriptures, everything should be able to be on the table. If the Bible talks about it, people think their sensitivity determines if something is right or not. Oh, I'm sensitive. I don't like nobody talking about me giving money. I don't like that. That's too personal. Newsflash, the Bible is a personal book.
Right.
The Bible gets real personal. The Bible's about menstrual cycles and everything in it. That's pretty dang personal.
It is personal.
So check your sensitivity at the door. It is what it is, man. I mean, do you want the truth or not? I'm not going to be like, well, I'm not going to talk about this because not too many people can handle it. No, y'all got to understand, man. That's the way it's always been. It's a profession. Y'all can see how it crossed right over to being a profession. Y'all see how he's even worded it the way it's in the law. But remember I said that laborer is worthy of his hire? Remember I said that's going to come back, Kevin? Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's 1 Timothy 5. This is what Paul is writing to Timothy. This is a church decree, 17 and 18. Go ahead and read.
It's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture states, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that trades out of the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward.
Whoa! Does that sound familiar?
Not too long ago.
First, he made a reference to what he had already said in 1 Corinthians 9. Then he quoted what Jesus said in Luke 10 and 7. Right? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 17, it says, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. Verse 18, now you know what context this is. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Reward and hire are synonyms. So Paul made this a church doctrine, and he said it was ordained by the Lord. This is what Paul is telling Timothy to teach everybody else. But let me show you something about this, Kevin. What we're going to do is go to the Strong's and Bible Concordance, translated honor in verse 17 when it says double honor. And that's 5092 in the Greek section. 5092 in the Greek section of the Strong's and Bible Concordance, the word translated honor when it says double honor. 5092, look what it says. And the word teammate, and it says from Greek 5099. A value that is money paid, concretely and collectively valuable by analogy, esteem, especially of the highest degree or the dignity itself, honor, precious, price, sum. Notice that the first definition he gave was a value that is money paid. You might say, well, John, that could be translated as double esteem or whatever. Let me show you how I read in other translations so y'all can see. I'm not capping. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 17. First, we're going to read it in the CEV or Contemporary English Version. 1 Timothy 5 and 17. And it reads, church leaders who do their job well deserve to be paid twice as much, especially if they work hard at preaching and teaching. Twice as much? That's what that double honor means, double money. That's why they translated it like that. This is what Paul is saying how it should be. Twice as much? This fool getting greeted. That's what it say, bro. That's how it reads in the CEV. Let me show you how it reads in another translation. Let me show you how it reads in the NLT, New Living Translation. It's 1 Timothy 5 and 17. Look what it says. Make sure I got this right here. I don't want to make the same mistake. Here we go. Let me fly back up right quick. Come on. Here we go. New Living Translation, 1 Timothy 5 and 17. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching. Do I need to interpret that, Kevin?
Not at all.
It said they should be paid well. Paul is plainly saying elders and teachers who work hard should be respected and paid well. Why are people asking? This is not Josh. It's not me. Right? See, Paul said he didn't want it to be done for him. But he said, you know, the Lord has ordained it this way. Let me show you how it reads in the Good News Translation, RBGNT. Mm-hmm. This is 1 Timothy 5 and 17. The elders who do good work as leaders should be considered worthy of receiving double pay.
Double pay. Wow.
Especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. See, that sister didn't have to spend all that time talking about a dang shekel. You ain't got to do all that. It's more than enough information to show you that you're supposed to take care of your preacher financially without you trying to twist the tithing law. Do y'all understand how we're showing you that we agree with your spirit that you're supposed to take care of your preacher? You just ain't got to twist the scripture to do it. It's enough actual scripture that supports that. But notice, this ain't saying nothing about no tithe. This has nothing to do with a tithe. This is the gospel. It is preaching. It is a profession. It's a job. It's a labor. And as such, it was treated the same way as any other labor law was to the Hebrews. If they're doing a job, that's why he said the elders who do good work as a leader. Notice he put a stipulation on the quality of the work. And all of y'all tell me every week, that was a good lesson, Josh. You hear me? I don't say y'all, have y'all ever heard me say I thought it was done? That sure was a good lesson I did. Y'all ever heard me say that? Have y'all?
No.
Y'all say that.
That's right.
But that's all y'all say. You feel me? Or rather, that's all y'all do. Not everybody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And not just with me. Other preachers do. Y'all get all that praise, but y'all ain't about to send your boy nothing. And you're supposed to be doing that. That's the sad thing about it. You're supposed to be doing that. That's a commandment. It ain't a suggestion. It ain't, well, out the goodness of my heart, I think I should. You're supposed to be doing that. See, a lot of y'all thought when y'all escaped fake Christianity, you ain't had to worry about your wallet no more. No, you're still supposed to be putting in and taking care of these preachers, if you believe them. Not anybody, just the ones who you believe bringing this true gospel. You don't believe I'm bringing the true gospel, don't send me jack. Keep it. Not supposed to be. Now go run and tell that he said that. And then also add the scriptures that I put behind it. I bagged up everything I said. Y'all all see it. I ain't twisted nothing. Now let's go to the tithes. Now that we understand, we're taking care of the payment for the preacher. Now let's deal with the tithes for the priest. Let's go to Numbers chapter 3. 5-9. It's real easy. You ain't never got to get too confused again. And then to bring it home, Kevin, I'm going to show you the tithing, the punishment for tithing, not tithing, back then, and the punishment for not paying people for their work in the same chapter. They're right next to each other. So how can you confuse them when the chapter covers both of them? You ain't tithing and you ain't paying people for the work they do. You follow what I'm saying? You know which one they fall under. But this is Numbers chapter 3, 5-9. Go ahead and read.
Numbers 3 and 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him.
Now let me explain something to y'all. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest. Now Aaron was from the tribe of Levi. Now this is something y'all got to understand, and it can be a little confusion. All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. I want y'all to understand that. Just because you was a Levite, in other words, don't automatically mean you had a job as a priest. But if you were going to be a priest, you had to be a Levite. On top of that, look what this is saying. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest. So technically speaking, the only priests were really Aaron and his seed. The Levites were more, the other Levites that did holy things, they were more like assistants to the priests. That's why when you read in the Bible sometimes, and I've had people bring this to me back in the day, you'll read and it'll say something confusing like the priests and the Levites. And they're all doing work in the temple. It makes a separation because the priest there is talking about Aaron's seed, and the Levites there are talking about the assistance to the priest, Aaron's seed. That's why it says here, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, because he's letting you know that all these Levites would be assistants to the priest, which were Aaron's seed, but Aaron's seed was from the tribe of Levi. So I can see why it can get a little confusing. But the way to look at it, you got Levitical priests and you got Aaronic priests. Y'all understand? Aaronic means specifically from the lineage of Aaron. And Levitical priest means the assistant to the Aaronic priest. But all of them were Levites. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? But where'd you stop at?
I read all of 6.
Okay, continue all the way to 9. That's what we're going to stop at. Go ahead.
7. And they shall keep charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do service of the tabernacle.
And that's what they did. They assisted, the Levites assisted Aaron in the service and the charge of the tabernacle. But go ahead and read.
8. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do service of the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and unto his son, and they are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel.
So he said again, and thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and unto his son. So you got Levite assistants, or you call them assistant priests, if that's what you want to call them, who was assisting the main priest. Those are the ones that came from Aaron, right? They are wholly given unto him, children of Israel, right? So now, I just had to give y'all a brief understanding of how it was set up. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 18, and let's deal with the tithing. Now that we know who they are, we know who Aaron is, and we know who the Levites are. Now let's see who the tithes were for. Then we're going to see what the tithes were. There's no reason why you should be confusing the tithes with the payment. There's no reason why you should be doing that. Right? If you're doing that, you're either confused or you're twisting scripture on purpose. None of this has anything to do with what we've been reading. None of it.
None of it.
Right? Now, this is Numbers 18, 20 to 21. When you get there, read, please.
It's Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. And read.
No, hold up, 20 and 21.
I'm sorry, 20 and 21?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get my note right. Okay, cool. This is Numbers 18, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel.
So it's telling you, and the Lord spake it to Aaron, and some of the people that came from Aaron's lineage, you shall have no inheritance in their land. You know, the other 11 tribes, the Levites, did not get a land inheritance. And he's telling you why right here. Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. So God is saying he's their part. He's their inheritance. Read verse 21.
And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tents in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
He said, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth, that's tithe, by the way. A lot of folks don't even know that tithe means tenth. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Why do they have to get a tithe from the children of Israel? Because they're too busy doing the service of the tabernacle to be able to provide for themselves.
Amen.
That's why. But we're going to see what this tithe was. They also had cities and towns among the inheritance in the other tribes. We ain't going to get off on all of that, but that covers how they had a place to live. Right? But now, skip down and just read verse 24.
It's Numbers 18 and 24. But the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer as the heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Now look what it just said. But the tithe, first it said tenth. Then it said, and switched up, and it said the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said among them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Kevin, what does that got to do with anybody today?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Nothing. This is about the tithe being for the Levites, right? That's what this is talking about. Something else. Now skip down and read verses 26 to 28, because after the Levites, or the assistant priests, got their 10%, that's what tenth is, 10%, they had to take part of that, a tenth of that, and do this. Skip down and read 26 to 28.
Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe.
Can anybody not see that this is all about offerings and sacrifices? You know, ain't no Christian doing that today. But they're extracting the tithe from this stuff. This is different. Can't y'all see this is different from payment for the preacher? Can everybody on stage see that? And this is clearly different.
It's very clear.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Very clear. This is different. They're combining two completely different precepts into one. This is for the Levites. Now, the Levites had to take 10% of what was tithed to them from the rest of the tribes of Israel. Keep reading, and what they have to do.
And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress.
As if it was a shekel. Did it say that?
Nope.
Did it say gold?
Nope.
Did it say silver?
Not at all.
Did he even use the word money?
Not even close.
It's a corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the wine press. Wine press is where you get your wine from. Your press or your staff, the grapes. And that's how you get your wine. It's about food and drink, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
How do you read this and get money out of that? In fact, why would you even have to after what I just showed y'all? You need not do all that. See, the worst kind of lie, sisters and brothers, is the one you don't got to tell.
Mm.
You just lying for no reason. You ain't got to do all that. I can show you. You're supposed to pay your preacher and pay him well. Did we read that? And pay them well.
Yeah.
And they ain't got to touch the tithe and law. Because they ain't got nothing to do with it. Now I'm just showing y'all this just so y'all can see the difference and never get them confused again after today, hopefully. Go ahead and read.
28. Thus ye also shall offer a heap offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heap offering to Aaron the priest.
See? So after the Levites, you know, the assistant priest to Aaron lineage, the priest, after the Levites got their 10%, they had to take 10% of what they got from the children of Israel and give 10% of that to Aaron's seed or Aaron and his seed. Some old Christian like Kevin the Dutch pointed that out last week. Don't nobody talking about the other 10% that you were supposed to give to a higher pastor? They just playing games with this. This has nothing to do with anything that can be done today. And even if it could be done today, it was not money, and it was just for Aaron and the Levitical priest. That's who it was for. And it was not money. I cannot emphasize that enough. This is tithe for the priest. The other one was payment for the preacher. Those are two different things. The spirit of them are the same, though. I'll give y'all that. The spirit of them is support your religious leaders. Nobody's telling you not to do that. Take care of your religious leaders, your spiritual leaders, your spiritual advisors. I don't care what you call them. Spirit of it is there. But don't combine two completely different precepts and try to tell me that payment for the preacher is the same as tithes and offerings, because they are not the same. One can be money, the other one could not be. One could be given to anybody regardless of what tribe or even nation they're from. If they're preaching the gospel, the other one was strictly for Levites. If you're reading this Bible and you're seeing money anywhere in anything pertaining to Levi, I'm going to really question your intelligence, because it don't say anything about money. I'm reading about corn and wine press. And we're going to see that again. But now that we see that part, now let's go to 2 Chronicles 31. And we only got three more after that.
Hey, Josh, really quick, too. You was actually the first minister that I heard. When I first found out that I wasn't supposed to take tithes, I was still going to the other church. So you know what I did? I stopped paying tithes to the other church because they didn't tell me that. And I started giving you offering from that time forward. And I've been giving you offering ever since. This was like 10 years ago. And I was listening to you, but I was still going to the other place I came from. And they never said anything about what it was. And, in my ignorance, I didn't really dig into the tithe. And then I heard you do your breakdown. This was a long time ago. And at that point, I stopped giving all anything to that. And so that I eventually left a little bit after that. But my point was, I gave it to you because you were honest enough to tell me the truth about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not giving them nothing. I'm giving it to this brother because he told me the truth about it. And I wasn't even like a big, APT person. I wasn't like telling you all the time at that time. But I just thought that was very significant in terms of what you're pointing out now and how you separate the two. That's all.
Right. I mean, and it's all about honesty. I could get on here and lie just like the rest of them do and try to get all your money. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. You do not have to touch the tithing law to prove that preachers are supposed to get paid. You don't got to do that. I think it's more powerful for a Christian to see Jesus saying it anyway. Don't you think, Kevin?
Yeah.
Paul. Hey, look, who the two favorites of Christianity? Paul and Jesus.
Yep.
And I'm saying in that order, too, because that's Paul first, then Jesus.
Yeah.
And both of them say it. So I don't got to touch the tithe and law. It's a profession. You pay somebody for the work they do. That's what Jesus called it. Right? So this is Second Chronicles. We're reading about when Hezekiah, you know, brought the children of Israel back. He was King Hezekiah. You know, he's reforming Israel from all the paganism and all the idols and stuff. But look what he's going to do. He's going to set the Levites back up because the Levites weren't getting taken care of no more. But you're going to learn something very particular here. This is Second Chronicles 31, verses 2 to 6. Read that, please.
And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses. Every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings to the minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tent of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offering, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offering, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbath, and for the new moons, and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord.
So you got all the offerings, the burnt offerings set up for the Sabbath, and all the other holy days, and the new moons. Go ahead and read.
Okay. And four, moreover, he commands the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests, give a portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord.
Do you see how they made a separation? So I said priests and the Levites?
Yep.
So the priests, that's talking about Aaron them. Levites, talking about the assistants to the priests. They were like the assistants. Still all Levites, still doing priestly things, right? But it says, he commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portion. What was their portion? That tenth, that tithe. But we're going to read that. Go ahead and read.
Five. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all of the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they.
Wait a minute. It says the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, and the increase of the field, and that's what they were tied in. Ain't they nothing about no money?
No shekels.
No shekels. Get that out your head. No gold, no silver. Food and drink. That's all you're reading about. Food and drink, and it called it tithe, because that's what tithe always was. It was never money, and it was never for anybody but the priests and the Levites. That's the only people it was for. You can't combine precepts like that. That's not how the law works. There's no law works like that. American laws, two separate American laws, and combine them to one law and live accordingly, they're going to throw your dumb butt in jail. So stop trying to combine the tithing law with the commandment to pay the priest, because they are, I'm sorry, the preacher, because they are two different things. What they have in common is the spirit of taking care of your religious leaders. So your heart is in the right place, your understanding just isn't. So clear up your understanding, swallow your pride, and just be like, yo, I ain't got a tithe, but I do. Supposed to make sure that my preacher is taken care of. You know, the ones who you consider to be your preacher. And don't walk around, oh, nobody be my preacher. Yeah, but you always in somebody's room listening to somebody. Don't think you can trick the Lord. You can't slight the Lord like that. Because if I didn't consider nobody to be my preacher, you wouldn't hear me listening to nobody. I ain't in nobody's room. And, you know, you secretly learning, though. And then y'all wonder why God started bringing these financial hardships on you. Because you're defrauding your you're defrauding the laborer of his faith. You're not paying for the services that you're getting. You think you're getting a free ride. You're supposed to take care of these. You're supposed to want to do it. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm not just saying this for me. I keep telling y'all that. This just ain't for Josh. This is the one time where I will stand in solidarity with everybody. You know, Black Jesus Minister, Corey Brewer, Captain Tazaria, All of them. If y'all really believe these guys are teaching the gospel to y'all, you know, y'all consider them like be your primary or your main preacher, y'all, why y'all ain't breaking them off? Y'all supposed to be paying them and paying them good, if you can. That's for all of us. But we see this, right? Keep reading. Where you stop at?
Stop at verse 5 for months now.
You'll read verse 6 and watch what it says.
6. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and a tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heat.
More food. Because, you know, they ate these animals. All this stuff is food and drink. That's all we're reading. They ain't brought in a cent. It don't mention nothing about no shekels. That's why when I ask that sister, it's not a shot. Show me a shekel in the tithe and law. Couldn't be done. A humble servant of God would have been like, you know what? I stand corrected. But humility has never been one of our strongest virtues. So we got to kick and scream because we all want to pretend like we know something. We all want to pretend like nobody can't correct us. No. Sometimes you just got to know when to yield. You got to ask yourself which is more important, your pride or the truth. We got to stop all this mess, man. So when I see pride kicking in, I'm kicking you out. It's not really that big a deal. You know what I'm saying? You ain't humbling yourself to me anyway. And that's how a lot of people say it, Kevin. I ain't about to humble myself to him.
Right.
It's not me. It's the word of God. I didn't write this stuff. It's not going to change what it says when you stop talking to me. Your Bible ain't going to say something else once you stop talking to me. It's going to still say exactly what I showed you. So it's not even me you're humbling yourself to. You're humbling yourself to this word. The tithes were for the priest. The payment is for the preacher. Right? Let's move on. Let's go. We already read this. Let's go to this last one because I got this in here twice for some reason. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Y'all know where I'm going. We're about the tithes. What do y'all always ask, Kevin? You hear me, Kevin? When they're trying to guilt trip you about the tithes, what verse they always go to in Malachi, what it say? You probably all remember what it say.
Oh, yeah, cheat the Lord?
Yeah, will a man rob God?
Rob God, yeah.
Y'all know I got to put this in there.
3 and 8.
Yep, everybody know it. But like I promised y'all, I'm going to show y'all the other law, too, that they were breaking. In this same chapter, I'm going to show you not paying the preacher or the worker, specifically the worker, and not tithing to the priest in the same chapter. Because remember, when you think about preaching, it's just a job, y'all. It's an important job. It's a holy job, but it's still just a job. It's a profession. It's work, right? So Malachi 3, go ahead and read 8 to 11. Read that, please.
Malachi 3 and 8. Will a man rob God? Yet he hath robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
In tithes and offerings. How were the children of Israel robbing God in tithes and offerings? And now that you know who the tithes and offerings were for and what the tithes and offerings were, you know how they were robbing God. Let's see. Let's get real stupid elementary here. The tithes and offerings were food and drink, and it was for the priests and the Levites. So apparently they weren't giving the food and drink to the priests and the Levites. See, that's simple. That's all that was going on. That's it. This ain't got nothing to do with no money. The problem is y'all been programmed to think tithe means money. And it doesn't. Never did. Technically, tithes mean 10% or a tenth. If anything, it'd be a tenth. But it was always food and drink or things that would be food and drink that were tithing. But keep reading. Watch what else it says.
9. ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation.
It says you are cursed with a curse, because you have robbed me. I can see how that would scare a Christian. Right? But and that same spirit is there. If you don't take care of God's religious leaders, he will curse you. He'll curse you if you sin in any way. If you ain't paying the preacher, you'll get cursed or punished for that. Even if I got to use the word curse, it's still a punishment, you know, whatever. But watch what else he says. Go ahead and read.
10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive.
He even tells you right here, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat. And that word meat can just mean food in general. That there may be meat in my house. Did it say money?
Meat.
Did it say gold, silver?
Meat.
Precious things?
Meat.
Treasure?
Meat.
Shekels?
Meat.
Meat. Food. We ain't telling you what it is, but you determined to make it something else. I can't deal with you. I can't deal. This is not a choose your own adventure book. Y'all remember them?
Yeah.
People read the Bible like it's a choose your own adventure book. Like you got a choice in what it says or what it is. It's food, y'all. That's what it always was. Not payment. They were not giving the priests and the Levites their tithe of grain and corn and fruit of the field and oxen and sheep. And the storehouse, if you would have kept reading what we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, you would have seen that they came up with the storehouse even back then for all this stuff. Not money. Ever. Nobody can ever connect it to money. Don't got to anyway. I already proved you got to pay the preacher. You got to lie about the tithes to get money out of people. Just tell them the truth. Right? Let's move on. Now that we see that, read verse 11.
I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now he said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. You know, like insects and locusts that would eat your crops and stuff. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Why is God telling them if you bring the tithe, he won't devour the ground or destroy the fruits of your ground? Why is he mentioning fruits and stuff from the vine? Because that's part of what the tithes were.
Yeah.
Remember I told y'all that sometimes God will punish you in the very area where you're sinning at? They were supposed to be tithing the fruit of their ground and their field. And they weren't doing that, so God was making them have bad harvest. He was letting locusts and stuff eat up their stuff. Don't y'all get that? This is not food. I mean, this is not all money. This is food. That's what it is. Food and drink. Food and drink. Not money. Stop trying to make it. If you do, you are either dumb or you are a liar or you are a dumb liar. But remember, I promise you, Kevin, I'm going to show you in this same chapter that one of the things he was also mad at them about was not paying people what they owed them. Remember that? That falls on the pain before the preacher. Scoot on up to verse 5. That's all you got to do. Simple. Read that.
Malachi 3 and 5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his ways.
Oh, there it is. Wait a minute. What does it mean to oppress the hireling in his wages? We already read that one time somewhere else.
Yeah, not paying.
not paying what you owe them. Right? You ain't got to read the other part because that's all I wanted to bring out. Let me show you how this reads in another translation, and that's it. It's Malachi 3 and 5 in the easy to read. Notice, Kevin, that these are just three verses apart.
Yeah.
They're two different things. One problem that I had with them, y'all weren't paying people what you owe them. You know, for working for you. The other one was you weren't paying your tithes. You ain't even got it. Paying your tithes.
Right.
Offering your tithes. You can still say pay. I don't care if you want to call it. I ain't going to eat lunch as long as you know what the payment was. Because payment can be more than just money. Right? But look what they said. Malachi 3 and 5, ERV. Then I will bring you to justice. I will be an expert witness and testify about the evil things people do. I will speak out against those who do evil magic or commit adultery. I will speak out against those who make false promises and cheat their workers and don't pay them the money they promise. That's where you take people, Christians, if they don't want to pay the preacher. You take them here, verse 5. Not verse 8. Verse 5. See, I'm still giving you something after I take something from you.
Right.
So now I've shown you payment for the preacher, tithe for the priest, and if you confuse them after this, you are just a deceiver who loves deceiving and being deceived. We'll be back after these brief announcements. And at this time, Ariel, are you there? I want to make sure you're there. Ariel? He's not even available right now. Hold on, y'all. I got to use the restroom right quick. One of y'all take over right quick. I'll be right back.
The blind sales of a million pairs of eyes, looking hard but trying to realize, but they will never see. A, B, C. That's right. We in the house. Look at here. The title of the room we here. Payment for the preacher. Tithe for the priest. So when you look at the Old Testament, we see that we have a tithe. I think it's three or four different forms of tithe where we have every third year the tithe goes to the widow, to the stranger, and the orphan. You get one tithe that you keep and pay yourself, buy yourself anything you want up to the whatever meat or the strongest drink that you like. And we see the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament with the temple and the ordinances and the priesthood being taken away. The tithing system is gone with the ceremonial parts and the sacrificial parts of the law as far as the offering and everything that's going on for the priests and the portion that they had because they had to work in the temple service and they, you know, their inheritance was to, you know, be taken care of by the rest of the tribe. So the tithing is for the priests, but with all the strangers, the orphan and the new life. Now when we look in the New Testament, you see the setup for the deacons to be the slaves, the servants, or the runners. For the apostles, the bishops, and the overseers of the church to, you know, do things like take care of the daily ministration, which would be money and food and clothes for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
In places like Acts chapter 6 and Corinthians. You back, brother Josh?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the brief synopsis and so far. We'll pass it back over to the mouthpiece of brother Josh.
Praise God, truly.
You got it, sir.
Praise God. Right. And first of all, let me thank everybody for coming out today. Thank you, Trilla, for stepping in while I had to step away. As many as you know, we go on Clubhouse. We open up a room every Saturday, every Sabbath at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I try to play some nice music for y'all for about 30 minutes. And then after that, class starts around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anybody is interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our online store. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. All of this information is under my bio, by the way. Just click on my thumbnail. All the information I'm giving you is on my thumbnail. Right? So that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. Hold on one second, y'all. Thank you. I'm back. Yes, and also, if anybody is interested in making a donation or a payment to this ministry, if you feel blessed by what you're hearing and just want to show some support, if you believe that you're being taught the true gospel by a true preacher, then you can donate one of two ways. The first way, of course, is through PayPal. This is also under my bio, using our email address, which means you can also contact us if you have any questions. That address for PayPal is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruthEVA@yahoo.com, forever@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word for, you type the actual numerical digit for. So again, that's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And of course, the other way you can donate is through Cash App, using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM, Again, that's $ABTM. And just in case you're wondering, that stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. So I'm going to try Ariel one more time. If not, I'll let Triller speak on whatever he was about to say. Ariel, are you there?
Shalom, Tim.
There he is, the Prince of Positivity. Go ahead. If you got announcements you want to make, go right ahead, brother.
Awesome. All praise to the Most High. Thank you for allowing me to speak. So first and foremost, I want to say shout out to all 71 people in the room. We appreciate y'all rocking with us today. One shout out to the mods. Thank you guys for all your help. So let's get into the closing statements. So the summary: payment for the preacher, tithes for the priest, is a distinction between the priest and the preacher, because some people today teach that tithes are for the preacher when tithes are for the priest. Tithes was for the Levites, tithes was for the Aaron and the Levites only. But today people feel compelled, or they feel guilty if they do not give a tithe, because they were taught that tithes were for the preacher, when that's not the case. You are supposed to pay your preacher, and you're supposed to pay him well. And if there's an elder, you're supposed to pay him double. You're supposed to pay him really well, right? So this is how the Bible separates the two. Payment for the preacher, make sure you guys donate. Make sure you guys give. If you feel like the preacher is given to you, if you feel like it is worthy of your hire, right? Because we learned that the preacher is worthy of his wages, man. He's putting the time in. He's reading. He's researching. He's teaching. And he's taking time out of his day to be here. So it's only necessary that we pay him with our earthly things when he's given us spiritual things. So again, tithes was never food. Tithes was never money. It was always food. It was always things that they needed to sustain themselves, so they wouldn't have to go to the grocery store. They wouldn't have to go into the fields, right? That's what the tithes was for, so that they could stay in their priestly offices and stay in their priestly duties, stay in the temple, doing the things of God. So they needed the money, they needed the wine, they needed the corn, they needed all of these things to sustain themselves while they do their job. So again, tithes was never money. Tithes was for the priests only, sons of Aaron and Levi. And then the payment is for the preacher, paying well if you feel like he's doing a good job for you. So that was a summary. Now we're going to get into some of the announcements. Okay? So we still have Absolute Bible Truth University coming up for all of you guys interested in learning the Bible. If you've been coming here and you've been hearing Brother Josh speak and you've been hearing some of his lessons, if you would like to become a master teacher at Absolute Bible, and if you would like to become a master teacher like Josh at Absolute Bible Truth, then you can come to our Absolute Bible Truth online university. That's right, it's online. So if you're overseas, if you're in another state, it is online. So you can come in, listen to the information, and grow in your biblical knowledge, grow in your biblical understanding, and help you become a master teacher. We have session two coming up. We already have semester one recorded. So if you would like to get access to semester one, you can just back channel Brother Josh. Scroll up to the top, hit Brother Josh's profile picture, hit that message button, and let them know you would like access to semester one, or you would like to get access to semester two coming up. And also, we have, all right, so we did it after the Bible University. We got the prayer session every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, another class that Absolute Bible Truth does, where we pray for each other, we go into the Bible, we do a Bible study, we have a motivational word of the week, and we take prayer requests. So I host a prayer session every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Clubhouse. Also, I do it on Facebook Live and Instagram Live if you are interested in coming to the live sessions every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the prayer session. And I think this month, Men's Ministry, next month, Men's Ministry is coming up. It's the first Sunday of the month of May. So every month, the first Sunday, we do Men's Ministry. So for all the men, get ready for that. And I think that's all of the notes that I have for today, all of the announcements for the Josh. Did I miss anything? Or are we good to go?
No, I'm just going to announce the starting date of this semester coming up for the university. But other than that, you got everything.
All right, cool. Well, we're about to get ready for the Q&A, guys. We got 76 people in the room. We got 35 shares. Lastly, if you guys can scroll down, you have to scroll down, hit that button. In the bottom center of your phone, left center of your phone, it says 35. It's like little, three little dots. Hit that button, share the room, and tell people to come on in for the Q&A. It's Q&A time. We're the only lesson. We're the only church. We're the only ministry that does question answer for multiple hours after service, right? You're not going to get this anywhere else. If you have any Bible-related questions, if you was reading the book of Genesis, if you was reading the book of Malachi, if you was reading the book of Luke, and you're like, Josh, I got a question on this. Josh, I got a question on this. Josh, my pastor taught me this. Anything relating to the Bible and or today's lesson, we are here to answer your questions. So we're about to get ready for the Q&A. So feel free to raise your hand and come on up. And share the room so that we can get those numbers up, right? So thank you for everyone who shared the room. I think Clubhouse took away the insights button where I was able to see who shared the room. I can't see who shared the room no more, so I like to shout y'all out for sharing the room. So if you shared the room, thank you. Let's get into the Q&A. Brother Josh, it's back to you.
Appreciate that, Aria. And right before we get into the Q&A, let me get to everybody that next semester, the debate course is what we will be doing this upcoming semester. The starting date will be May the 4th. That's going to be on the Thursday. May the 4th on a Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, once a week. We're going to do once a week this go-around. I was doing twice a week last time, and it almost killed them. It was rough. It was rough, but they still did pretty good. So that's May the 4th, 2023, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All of our classes are held on Zoom. They're held on Zoom. Also, if you're interested in studying the first semester, we have that for replay as well. So you can catch up on all the other stuff that we did. That's the master teachers part. Also, for all of my first semesterers, I know that ain't a word, but whatever, right? I have not forgot about your certificate. In fact, tonight I'm going to be texting or reaching out to y'all again to give me your whole name as you want it listed on your certificate for completion of the first course. I talked to Joel Mills. He said, you know, some companies that will – y'all, you know, y'all got to pay for y'all degree and stuff to get printed out, whatever. But y'all told me already y'all want quality. So he told there are some companies that'll do all of that and even mail it to y'all, right? And he said he's going to try to shop around to make sure that he finds the best one. But you can do it now if you want to. You can back chat me on Telegram. Y'all know how we do it. Or y'all can text me directly if you got my number, your whole name as you want it to appear on your certificate. Talking to all my ABTU students right now. So we can go in and get that out to you. So you can go and put a frame on that nice thing and go in and hang it up on the wall so everybody can see that you passed the Master Teachers course. And then we can do this Expert Debaters course. That's right. Teach you how to debate on a professional, scholarly level. Not just BS you be seeing in some of these other Clubhouse rooms, but real debate strategies and tips. So just want to throw that out there again. Class starts May the 4th. If you're interested, hit me up in the back chat so I can tell you about tuition and all that other good stuff. If you're interested, some people's already started paying on their tuition, Then, you know, class starts. That's a little over, let's see, how many days is that? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 12 days from now. So if you already start paying on your tuition, this will be the time to get it in so you can go in and get it finished. But enough of that. Now we got some people that came on the stage. First, we got Jason. Go ahead, Jason. Jason Benjamin.
Peace, everybody. Happy Sabbath.
Peace.